Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We've been watching some of the movies, some of the Christmas specials that have been up on TV and that. You see a kind of a running theme through most of them, and that is to see the spirit of Christmas. Man, the spirit of Christmas is defined in a great number of ways. It's defined as joy. The spirit of Christmas is joy. At this point in time, we are to have joy of all kinds. Well, another theme that's going through is giving. The whole meaning of Christmas is giving, not getting. Another theme that you hear is about love and how we're supposed to show love to one another. And those are all great things. But what about the Bible? Have you ever considered what the Bible has to say about a spirit of Christmas? Well, we can look and just go through the story and grab hold of principles and kind of a feeling that you get through there. And you can see a spirit of Christmas, of one being joy and one being of giving and one of God's love. But there really is a spirit of Christmas. And I want you to grasp hold of that spirit of Christmas. In fact, if it wasn't for the spirit of Christmas, we wouldn't have Christmas. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We see Simeon is an excellent picture example of the spirit of Christmas. Here we find him in in Jerusalem. Jesus has been born, and being born, they go down, as the law had taught, that they're to go down to the temple, and they're there to offer a sacrifice. So they go to offer a sacrifice, and when they're there, there's Simeon meets them. In verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout," a very righteous person, a person who had real integrity in who he is. And so he was a just and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here we find the Holy Spirit three different times. We see it here in verse 25 that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then you find in verse 26 that it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit. And then you see a little bit further in verse 27, he came in the New King James, it says by, literally it's in the Spirit. So three times you see the Spirit with this man. I think that's very significant, considering that the Holy Spirit is throughout the story of the birth of Jesus. But you find him significantly here, that over and over it's by the Holy Spirit. We see that it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. What does that mean? What does it mean the Holy Spirit was upon him? Have you thought about that? Well, when I look at the scriptures, I see in such as in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 11, you see that the Holy Spirit that was on Moses was also placed on the 70 elders so that way they could judge. That is, they could be discerning and wise and help settle disputes. So the Holy Spirit was upon them for that purpose. We find in the book of Judges that the Holy Spirit would empower the leaders. And the leaders were to go out and they would deliver Israel. Samson, one of those judges, he was given supernatural strength when the Holy Spirit was upon him. I look at Saul and David. Saul and David had the Holy Spirit upon them as they led the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 2, specifically, but throughout the prophets, you see the Spirit of God on those prophets to communicate God's word. So what does that make me? When I come down here and I see that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, it tells me something. That the Holy Spirit was on Simeon to do a particular task or job. Or a particular ministry. You find that the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody for a temporary activity. Samson and his strengths. Sometimes it's sitting more permanent with David throughout his ministry, throughout his kingship. Simeon, in verses 29 on, he prophesies. So I take it that the ministry that the Holy Spirit had given to Simeon was the ministry of prophecy. You know, God's Holy Spirit empowers His people. God's Holy Spirit empowers His people. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to look at your stove and just by looking at it, it'll start. That might be handy for your car, wouldn't it? Well, not if the car is going to blow up. But if you look at the car and the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to turn it on and make it all warm so that way when you get out there. Well, they have little remotes for that, don't they? The Holy Spirit could empower that way. But that's not how you see the Holy Spirit in the New Testament empowering. You see a little differently. You see that the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Holy Spirit empowers to be a witness. Well, so we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness to others. That's pretty significant. The Holy Spirit was upon the folks in the Old Testament we talked about. It was upon Simeon. The Holy Spirit's upon us to be a witness. I want you to notice something. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and verse 20, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was found with child by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit had come upon her and impregnated her. In fact, in verse 20 it says, "While Joseph thought of these things, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which was conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit.'" The Holy Spirit is the one that created the human life of Jesus. Jesus, who had always existed, but now would be born as a baby. The Holy Spirit worked in Mary to create that. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Will come upon you. That's what the Holy Spirit did to Simeon. That's what the Holy Spirit did to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" So the Holy Spirit is not merely on you, but actually permanently in you. That's pretty exciting to know. God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas, is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that created that did the work in Mary, so that way she would be pregnant with the human Jesus. Jesus became both God and man at the same time. The Holy Spirit did the work. You can picture, you can imagine the way, as you look at scriptures, the way that God tends to work. God the Father is kind of the planner. From before the foundations of the world, He chose you. You find that He had everything planned, and you see Him then perform that plan. How does He perform that? Jesus usually is the hands of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, we find that Jesus is the one that created everything. Wait a minute. Genesis chapter 1 says God created everything. He did. He did through God the Son, Jesus. And then you see the power by which God does this. It's His own power, but the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you see when you look at the Gospels, that Jesus, when He did His ministry, performed His miracles, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. He, being God, could have done it, but He relied on the Holy Spirit to do that. So you have the Holy Spirit of Christmas performing the pregnancy of Mary, that same Holy Spirit who is in you, so that way you can be God's witnesses to everyone around you. Not only this, we find in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not only has He empowered you to be His witness, He's empowered you with gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You're given spiritual gifts for the benefit of everyone in the church. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And He talks about the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit gives. So the Holy Spirit, who is in you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit that's in you has gifted you to be able to serve. Now you look back at the Old Testament, folks, and you see how the Holy Spirit worked in their lives. You see how some of them, in a temporary way, Solomon would be given great, or not Solomon, Samson would be given great strength at periods. He had it, but you saw that the Spirit come upon him, and then he would move and defeat the enemy. You saw how the Old Testament judges, think of Gideon in particular, how he felt helpless and weak, and he couldn't do it. And yet the Holy Spirit came upon him and guided him, and there was great victory over the Midianites. You look even farther, you can see that the judges, those, not the judges, the elders, who would make discerning choices, wise choices. It was God's Holy Spirit who was on them that helped them make those choices. Here in our text, the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. God had His Holy Spirit on him. That same Holy Spirit who is in you. If God's Holy Spirit can work through the people of the Old and New Testament in those ways, could He not work through you? Question is, do we allow Him to work in us? You know, God not only sent His Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit not only does this, but He also reveals God's will. He also reveals God's will. God the Holy Spirit reveals God's will. We look here in verse 27, verse 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You look at the Old Testament, you know that the Holy Spirit is the one that moved. We find in 2 Corinthians or 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, it was by God's Holy Spirit that moved the prophets to speak God's truth. And especially Isaiah, but the other prophets describing the birth of Jesus Christ. All the way back then, the Holy Spirit was saying, look, Jesus Christ is coming. The Messiah, the Deliverer, the one that would save His people from their sins. And we find that the Holy Spirit had even told Simeon something real special. Could you imagine what it would be like to know that you would have the opportunity to see something really special? God revealed that to you. Could you imagine if you were coming across on the Mayflower? That'd be a little early. If you're after having come across on the Mayflower, about 100 years after that, if God revealed to you that there would come a time where the nation, that the colonies that were there, would form an independent nation and become their own country, and that through that would be a great blessing to a great many people, wouldn't you just be excited then when all of a sudden the Declaration of Independence is signed and then printed up in the newspapers and that? And you said, wow, this is pretty exciting. I got to see the birth of a nation. That'd be pretty interesting to know that that would have happened and that it actually happened. You maybe are sitting there and the Lord reveals to you that someone in your family is going to have a baby. And so you're excited, and all of a sudden when the baby comes, you have the baby in your hands, and you're so excited because you were told about it, and now you see it. Here he was told that the Messiah of the whole world, the Deliverer, the Savior of the whole world, he would not die until he saw him. Wouldn't that be fantastic if you're a Simeon? Here is something they have looked to for hundreds of years. You could even say thousands. And yet, it all comes up to this point. In our day, we think about the rapture. Wouldn't it be cool if we experienced the rapture while we're still alive? Now, at one point, we all go flying up in the sky. Wouldn't that be cool? It'd be a lot of fun, at least, unless you're afraid of heights. That would be fantastic. And what if the Lord revealed to you that before you died, sometime before you died, you would experience the rapture? So then you wouldn't die, but you would experience the rapture. Wouldn't that be fantastic? So the older and longer that you live, you're thinking to yourself, oh, maybe it's today. And you're all excited, and then all of a sudden it happens, and you're so excited about it. Simeon had that excitement because of the revelation that the Holy Spirit had given to him. Now, the Holy Spirit does reveal His Word to us, and the Holy Spirit works in a way that we don't hear Him audibly so much as in our hearts. And we always have to be careful to test the spirits, because Satan will speak to our hearts as well. But the Holy Spirit can do some fantastic things. We know that He prays for us. Romans 8:26 tells us. We know that the Holy Spirit can comfort us. Jesus called the Holy Spirit one that would come alongside. In some translations, a comforter or a counselor. And that He would be in us. We find the scriptures in John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that I've spoken. We find that the God's Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand His Word. For the writers, for the apostles, and the authors here of God's Word, the Holy Spirit helped those remember what happened, remember what was said so they could accurately record it. The Holy Spirit sometimes is directing their hearts to what to write. God works that way. And that's fantastic. But for us, it's a matter of discerning God's Word, understanding it by reading it, letting God use His Word in your hearts. You know, we can take God's Word and read it, and we can even understand what it says. But it takes the Holy Spirit to really touch your heart with what it says. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit sometimes to understand it, but just to really grasp hold of how does it apply to me? I can look at this and I can see, well, here is a story about Simeon. And I can just leave it at that. It is a historical event that occurred. is it that God wants me to learn, though, from this? This is recorded for a reason. Well, Luke, he's pointing out the fact that this is the Savior for not just the Jews, but the Gentiles also. Guess what? I'm not a Jew, which makes me what? A Gentile, right? So this is saying, hey, the birth of Jesus Christ, that's for me too. Well, that's fantastic to know. Now, if Jesus is come for me, what should my response be? Shouldn't I be curious to learn about him? Shouldn't I, after learning about who he is and recognizing what he's done for me, shouldn't it cause me to follow him with all my heart? We can take a look at the scriptures here and find a historical event. We can rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal to us personally. So what does this mean? As we have today. Here, looking at the Holy Spirit, and we see that he has worked, that he would was upon Simeon. And we see that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Does that have any correlation with us today? Well, yeah. The Bible tells us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Are you living by the Holy Spirit? He's in you. Are you relying on him? Are you listening to him? Not only the Holy Spirit upon him and in us, but the Holy Spirit revealing. And God reveals his will through his word. We must be diligent to read his word, to comprehend it, and then to put it to practice as the Spirit guides us to. Further, lastly, God's Holy Spirit guides his people. I found it curious as I was studying that when it came to the Holy Spirit, there were three ways that it was spoken of. You don't see it as well in the English as you do in the Greek. But in the Greek, it says the first point that the Holy Spirit was upon him. That is, he landed on him. Think of it that way. And then it says that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit revealed God's will, but it says by the Holy Spirit, or it could even be translated as under the Holy Spirit, that it was revealed to Simeon. In this last one, the Holy Spirit guides his people. It says by in my Bible, but literally, and it can be translated legitimately that way, but literally it means in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit guided him to go to the temple. In verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the holy temple. You know, we find in the scriptures, this phrase, in the Holy Spirit, we find it in a few different places, but Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, as many as are led in the Holy Spirit, or by the Spirit of God. It's the same phrase there. As many as, it's Romans 8, 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, or in the Spirit of God, are sons of God. Now, are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Here's a man, the Spirit was upon him, Spirit had revealed something to him, and now it is by or in that Spirit, the Christmas Spirit, if you will, the Holy Spirit, that he was being, they said, well, you know what, I need to go to the temple. Maybe the Holy Spirit knocked on him and said, hey, listen up, you gotta get to the temple. Maybe it was just something in his heart that he felt that, hey, I need to go to the temple. I'm not sure why. I know I got to get there. God guides us that way as well by his Holy Spirit. There are times that God might move you to call somebody or to pray for somebody, that he might lead you to form some sort of of task or act. And if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we'll perform those things and either knowingly or not knowingly do His will. Simeon in the Spirit said, I need to get the temple. So he goes to the temple. When he gets there, guess who he sees? God reveals to him, this is the baby. I wonder how many babies were there at the time. You thought about that? The census had just taken place. So there may have still been a lot of people there. It had been 8 days. Many of them had perhaps gone back home. But during the census, they had to go to their hometown. And so, remember, there was no room for them in the inn. And so they're there. And was Jesus the only baby born that day? Even not just in Bethlehem, because see, they go to Jerusalem for this. So what about all Jerusalem, which is a big city? You know, I didn't do the research. I wonder how many babies are born every day here in Omaha. I know that I was at a hospital. I'm trying to think which hospital I was at. I was at a hospital. I was up in Medina, Ohio. And Medina is a whole lot smaller than Omaha. And we were there, and over the speaker, you could hear the baby song. Some of the hospitals, I don't know if the hospitals here have that, but there's a baby song. As soon as a baby is born, they call up the operator hits the button, and there's the da-da-da, da-da-da. Now everybody knows a baby was born. It went off, I think, twice when we were there. So I don't know if it was twins or what. But it was twice while we were there. I wonder how many babies were born here in Omaha. How many were born that day? Did Simeon, did he go and he see several different babies? And God just revealed to him by His Holy Spirit, in the Spirit, there he is. You know what that's like, don't you? My wife could testify of this. You, when you go shopping for your engagement ring, you go and you look and you find it and you say, that is it. Doesn't matter what any else would look. But as soon as you see it, that is it. And so as we talked a little bit about it, I was threatened by life and limb that if I was going to give an engagement ring, it better be that one. Wasn't quite that way, but the words were not there. I'll say it that way. The house that we looked at, we went and saw the house, and she come out and said, that's it. So I guess that's it. You know, she knew that was it. But God worked in Simeon that he saw, well, that's the baby. That's the one. God works in you. God works in you in such a way that as you perhaps are seeing things going on or know there's needs to be met or that you are maybe just minding your own business and all of a sudden God impresses upon you, hey, you know what? You need to be praying for this family. How many times through perhaps your own experience been talking to that family later and said, boy, you know, we had a really tough time yesterday. And you say, you know what? I was praying for you. I don't know why I was praying for you. I was praying for you because God just all of a sudden led me to pray for your family. It may have been that God used your prayer in order to work in their lives. What about in you ministering to other people? You see somebody, see it common for us to see somebody that's down and out and just by compassion to be moved to help them in some sort, but it was the last time God has really laid something on your heart and you pursued it. You see, Simeon here is an excellent example of the spirit of Christmas that we should have. We should have the spirit of Christmas, that is, the Holy Spirit, who's responsible, you see, it is by the Holy Spirit that Jesus was born. If the Holy Spirit would not have done that, theoretically, Jesus would not have been born. It was the act of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked Mary, worked in Simeon, worked in these others. He's working in you. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's working in you. What is He doing in your life? Consider that. Are you growing in Him because of His Holy, as you listen to His Holy Spirit? Are you paying attention to His Word and letting Him feed you, the Holy Spirit, to feed you through God's Word? Are you listening to Him to prompt you to pray? Are you listening to Him to prompt you to do something, to serve in a particular capacity, or help somebody out, or just to sing songs of praise to the Lord? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? The Spirit of Christmas. The Spirit of Christmas we should have all year round. Not that joyful feeling. Not just an attitude of giving or a display of love, but the Holy Spirit of God. Would you consider these things? Open your heart and allow God to move in your life. Always test, make sure it's God's Holy Spirit. Compare it with the Scriptures. But allow Him to work in your life, and you will see the Christmas, the Spirit of Christmas, in a completely different way. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit that You had given to us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior.